With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, driving passion for sport and communities throughout Ireland and abroad.
We may not be able to get in on the sporting action like we're used to, but we can get in on some exclusive offers from Renault. To celebrate their second year as official car partner of the GAA, Renault is offering a range of special offers on their new and used vehicles, exclusive to all GAA club members. So now you can take home the win right to your door. Check out Renault.ie/GAA to find out more.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, then.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Listen back to England.
Hello everyone, you're very welcome to the Irish Examiner Gaelic Football Show. My name is Paul Rouse and I'm joined here today by the former Armagh footballer Oisín McConville and by Ciarán Sheehan, the Cork footballer who is currently out with a knee injury. And lads, we're in a place that looked almost impossible even just a couple of weeks ago. The National Football League has been successfully completed and we're on the eve of a truly historic All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. I think there are about a million places we could start this week, but where better, Ciarán, than to say you called it absolutely right last week. You knew Conor McKenna from your time in Australia and you said he'd be a star here, and here he is last weekend basically relegating Mayo.
Yeah, look, he's I know I mentioned it there last week, he's a unique character. I think you kind of, people got an idea of his personality there. I think he was at the AIB launch, the championships there during the week, got an idea of his personality. A real outgoing guy. And he kind of showed that in the pitch last weekend. To be honest, I was only thinking there at the moment, there's a transfer window and trade period going on in the AFL. And if there was one of them here at the moment, I think a lot of counties would be putting their hands up for Conor McKenna. The big thing, the couple of highlights, I think his kick passing clearly is the same as what it would have been, I'd say, if he was still playing over the last 6 years. His composure in front of goal, the way he took his first goal there, still a bit of a dummy solo and just tucked it away into the corner. But I think it's his overall awareness on the pitch has surprised me a little bit in relation to getting into the right spots, making the right runs. It's been just so seamless for him to transition into the team. But then again, as I mentioned last week, it's certainly not something I'm surprised by.
When you say he's a unique personality, would you just give us a little bit more on that? What do you mean by that?
What I mean by it is basically he's someone that really, I suppose, nothing fazes him. He's a case of just, if something is tempting to knock him down, there's no way he's leaving it getting in the way. He's the type of guy that would, even the way you're talking to him, he's almost 100 miles an hour, and you can see that in the way he plays almost for, and even his second goal last weekend, he kind of just drove forward, kind of dropped the ball, got up and just kicked the ball into the net as if it was easy stuff for him. But he's an outgoing guy. Great fun off the field. We had plenty of gatherings over with the Irish crew that were out there in Melbourne at the time, and we'd have a bit of a kick of an O'Neill's ball from time to time as well. And
Who else would be there with you?
Ciarán Byrne from Louth was there. You'd have Ray Connellan, Dara Joyce, Ray Connellan, Westmeath, Dara Joyce, Kilkenny, Conor Nash from Meath, Conor Glass from Derry. So there was a nice crew there at the time, and it was a kind of consistent crew that was there over a number of years. Now there's been another influx of players after coming in, but it was certainly a good bond that we kept over there. And certainly you could see by Conor that GAA never left his mind anyway.
What's your view on the machine?
It was interesting listening to the when he was doing the AIB stuff, because he said that he spent the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks playing with Wolf Tones over there. I don't know what Ciarán knows anything about Wolf Tones, but that was set up by two Armagh guys out there. I was on my honeymoon almost 10 years ago now, and I ended up I ended up playing in a tournament for them.
That's some honeymoon, Oisin.
Which didn't go down great with horror indoors, but it was, at least you knew it was a sign of things to come. Got up well prepared for what was going to happen throughout the marriage. But so I wondered, really, you know, not so much the skills, but you know, Kieran touched on it, just the attitude. And he seems to have a bit of a devil may care attitude, and I think that's really helped him. He doesn't strike me as the sort of guy, I could be wrong, he doesn't strike me as the sort of guy who's going to overthink the whole thing or being back. He just looks as if he feels it's his first love, it's his first sport he played, he picked up the ball. He doesn't see, like, I'd say when people mention transition to him, he's probably thinking to himself, you know, what transition? Sure, you know, I've played this sport all my life. I was only over there for 4 or 5 years, or, you know, and I suppose the thing that has really struck me about him is that just how he's taken the baton and run with it. And, like, people are saying, ah, he's the leader of the forward line, he's different. Like, I don't think he buys into any of that. I think he's just there to play a ball. I think he also strikes me as somebody who isn't going to be perturbed if he has a bit of an off day. Like, the first day I watched him against Donegal, he really struggled to get into the game for 45, 50 minutes, and yet he just kept digging on in there. And many's another player would say, listen, you know, this is going to take me a bit of time, but he wasn't willing to accept that. And I suppose that's the biggest, they're the biggest plaudits that I could give him, is that, you know, regardless of what was going on, regardless of the fact that maybe he wasn't getting away with himself for 35 or 40 minutes, that he just dug in and finished the game well. And he just picked up where he left off in Ballybofey the last day against Mayo. And you say, I know it might have been tongue in cheek that he essentially put Mayo to the sword, but effectively it was him. You know, everything that was happening was good. Even when Mayo sort of got the clampers on him a little bit, you know, it deflected away from all the players, and Lex McCurry just picking up that score at the end, the different things he got. So he takes a watching, and I think that's exactly what somebody just to spearhead that attack, and that's exactly what Tyrone need, because they have been a bit lightweight in that department this past while.
And next Sunday at 1:30, the big match of the weekend, the kicker match in the championship, Donegal against Tyrone. Now, when we were chatting last week, you were fairly sure Donegal were going to win. Has he changed your mind?
No, but I tell you what, he's put another perspective on it. There's so many things when you're thinking about this game. There's so many things you have to take into account. The first thing you have to take into account is, you know, how much did Donegal show the hand against Tyrone the first day? How much were Tyrone holding back? How important is Peter Hart to Tyrone in situations like this? How important is McKenna's improved performance? How much more important, or what extra will the likes of Darragh Canavan give them next week? Whether that be from the start or whether that be off the bench. But anybody who was in Ballybofey, there wasn't too many in Ballybofey, but anybody who has seen the game in Ballybofey would realise that Donegal completely bossed the game. And as I touched on last week, the one thing that I came away from the game with was they completely bossed the game, and yes, they were still hanging on sort of towards the end of the game. You know, if Tyrone had to get a goal or whatever. But I just think that it hasn't changed my mind, but I do think that it gives the game that little bit more spice now. And there's a lot more intrigue about the game. And the final thing about all of that is that when Donegal have really needed to win in the last 2 years, Ballybofey against Tyrone, the last game of the Super Race to qualify, they had the game in the pocket, 4 points up, 5 minutes left, Tyrone won before. Okay? Last year they needed to go down to Mayo and they needed to win, and they failed to do that. That is, regardless of what they say, that is in their psyche, and that is something they will be very aware of. So that's something that they need to change. But I just think even them going down to Kerry with a second rate team, or a second team, or making 9 or 10 changes, they still got game time in the likes of Langan and that, who I expect to play this weekend. So they've got a hell of a lot of options. I said last week about how impressed I was with Caelan McGonigal in the middle of the field. They've so many options around that area now. So I still think, you know, Donegal to edge it for me.
Kieran?
Yeah, I'd actually, I do think, and partly because of the Conor McKenna effect, I do think Tyrone, if they get things right, that they can edge this out. I think they played, just from my own viewing, I thought they played two very different game styles against Donegal versus Mayo last weekend. I think a good balance between the two is what's going to be what they're chasing against Donegal. I feel like if they get their matchups right, I think, for example, I thought Ronan McNamee done quite well in Aidan O'Shea inside. If Murphy's inside, you know, I'd imagine he'd be picking him up. If he kind of quietens him to a certain extent when he's inside, I think Kieran McGeary, his energy that he's brought the last couple of weeks, I think will be crucial to Tyrone. I also think, look, as Oisin mentioned there, the likes of McCurry and Peter Hart, and then you've obviously Matty Donnelly, players like this that are, you know, top class players. I think if they get it right on the day, which I think they're capable of doing, I think they might be able to take on Donegal here and get the win.
Kickouts in Ballybuffet, Oisin, kickouts were a huge divide between Donegal and Tyrone, and that Donegal got theirs away and got theirs away successfully in a lot of different ways, and Tyrone struggled, especially when they kicked it long, and Tyrone, a lot of breaks were picked up by Donegal out around the middle of the field. Against Mayo, the kick out worked much better for Tyrone when they went over the top, and you see your man Conor McKenna, Kieran, took a whole load of balls. It's that battle again about the kick out is probably going to be fundamental next Sunday.
No, I agree with that, and I think any time Morgan went long against Donegal invariably won 99% of those. Donegal set up in a different way, obviously, than Mayo for kickouts. They're very aware of all of that stuff, and they're very aware of that long kickout. It's simple. Their halfback line takes a chance and steps in front. As soon as that ball goes over the midfielder's heads, two of them are back in, just playing just in the hole between the half backs have left on the full back line. And that gives them the opportunity to sweep a lot of stuff up. It's not as easy to go over the top against Donegal as it is against Mayo. I just think Mayo weren't aware enough of it. And I think that, you know, Ballybuffet is tight enough when it comes to when it comes to those kickouts. And I think Morgan will have to think a little bit more about it. I was really surprised how much Donegal pressurised his kickouts, how much they pushed up. Regardless if it was from play or whatever, they really pushed up. They really put pressure on him, and they won the majority of the kickouts that he was forced to kick long. And actually, on the other side, Tyrone just gave Donegal the kickouts a lot of the time. Okay, they pushed up towards the end when they sort of needed to, but for the first 45-50 minutes of the game, Tyrone just let Donegal have it. That might be another switch that could happen at the weekend. It's this. I don't want to simplify it too much, but Donegal or Tyrone are really small around the middle of the field. They don't have that height and the presence that the likes of Donegal have. And to be honest, Mayo are not as big in that department as they once were either. So I think that's why Tyrone got a lot of success from their own kickouts last week, but I can't see that happening in Ballybuffet.
The week before a championship, the week before a championship starts, lads, what's it like to be a player the week before a championship starts?
It's absolute heaven. It's brilliant. You sit back and enjoy it because you know all the hard work's done. And just a little bit of fine tuning. I hate the hard stuff. I hate the dogging sessions and all. I hated that. But when it came to championship week, it was all worth it because as I say, you are, you knew it was Championship week. There was just that little bit of a different buzz around. Boys were bouncing into the change rooms. Just a different feel about it. They can't bounce into the change rooms. Bounce into the stand or the marquee beside the thing at this stage. But there's just a whole different feel about it. And as I say, boys just, the attitude just switches completely. And I suppose maybe not as different this time around because games have been coming sort of thick and fast. But normally when we play a Championship, we're after waiting 4 or 5 weeks in order to get at it. So you've got a base of maybe 3 or 4 weeks of tough stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a climb down before the actual match. But you feel so good before because you're, as I say, you're after doing all that work and you just feel quicker, faster, stronger, fitter. And you just can't wait for the weekend, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a funny one this year with the all the change. You know, I suppose there's more at stake now with it being knockout and everything. So I'd imagine that would bring on different feelings for players. You know, people in management and teams may argue that should be the way all the time. But I think the subconscious would tell you, you know, that you have another chance. But I suppose it's a bit different now for teams and their approach. And obviously the winter v summer kind of look at it as well is it puts a little bit of a change on it. Like my abiding memory is, you know, the smell of fresh cut grass and the sunny days and the, you know, the championship that you kind of, you know, you really look forward to. But I think it does present a new challenge for players. The preparation time together isn't as much. And I think, look, I suppose it's, you know, the things like, you know, going down to your local shop and, you know, you're playing Kerry, you know, in the lead up to that week. And, you know, someone says, you know, are you ready for the weekend? You know, it's a big game for you. You know, you just don't have that because of, you know, the restrictions and, you know, staying at home and not being able to get out and about amongst the community as much. And that was something that you definitely feed off and the buzz you'd feed off leading into Championship. But certainly the big thing is that nervous energy for me. And it's just that amazing feeling of, you know, as Oisin touched on there, you know, you're ready for it. Whatever happens, you're on it, you know, empty the tank and give it your all when you're out there. And certainly, you know, there is that nervous energy around, you know, are you going to be playing, you know, how well are you going
to... What's it like not to be picked?
Yeah, look, it's tough. I've one memory back in 2013, I was left out of the team against Kerry in a Munster final down in Killarney. And it's not easy. It's certainly not easy.
What did you do? To say anything?
To be honest, I wasn't look, I wasn't performing to the ability I could have been performing at in the lead up to it. And you know, rightly so, that the management made a decision. I ended up coming on for last 20 minutes, but it was something that sat with me. I was lucky enough that I got well enough in that 20 minutes and was starting for the rest of the year. But it was definitely a wake up call. And I think the management made the right decision. But like for guys, that can be a tough thing to get your head around, but also you can get a good reaction out of players as well. But certainly that excitement and nervous energy about, you know, putting on the, you know, the orange jersey of Armagh or the red of Cork, you know, it's certainly something that there's a great buzz around all the time.
Oisin, did the management ever made, did you ever believe the management made the right decision in leaving you off, or were you ever left off?
The only year I wasn't starting every game was 2008. That was my last year with I played, I think, 10 minutes or maybe 15.
What was that like? You're like, so how'd you find that
year? I didn't enjoy it. We'd gone away to, I wouldn't say I was playing out of my skin or anything. I only played the last couple of games during the league because we had gone to the 17th of March with Cross, and I was only in for the last couple of league games, probably got a half an hour in those. And the team had taken a different direction. And then we went away for a pre-season camp, and I was flying. I thought I was in as good a form as I'd ever been in, and I expected to start the first game. And not only did I not start it, but I didn't get any game time whatsoever. And same the next game, and then I was brought on in the Ulster final. But it was very frustrating because I felt as if I still had something to offer. But I sort of got the feeling that I wasn't part of the plans. I never said anything. I let it go. and we were beat by Wexford in an All-Ireland quarter-final. We took off our... we needed scores, obviously. We took off our midfielder and put on a full-back. And when that happened, I completely realised how far down the pecking order I was, and I left it at that, you know, at the end of the year. And that was okay. It extended my club career, but at the time it was really sick and it was really hard to take. You know, you're trying to be as upbeat as you can around the camp, but when you come home, that's when it really hits you, like, you know, and it's the people around you trying to keep you going and stuff like that, telling you you're good enough and all those sort of things. But it's hollow, because, you know, in your heart of hearts, if you're good enough, you'd be playing. And so that was a tough year, but that was the only time I didn't start a championship match with Armagh. It was that 2008 year.
So Armagh played Derry in the Ulster quarterfinal this Sunday at 4 o'clock. I think it's live on BBC Northern Ireland. And is there a bit of you really just wants to be still playing, or are you done in your head?
No.
I'm not saying you're going to get a late call or anything.
No, that's particular feeling left me after a couple of years, and to be honest, when I left, I knew it was ready to leave, but also I knew that my time was up, and the only thing I missed whenever I left was championship days. I didn't miss the training, didn't miss the league, didn't miss anything like that. I remember walking with BBC on the first in 2009, the first championship match, and I walked in and I missed it. And the same the following year, I missed it. But then after that, you know, you sort of accept it. And I'm so far away from that now, but I'm so worried about this game. Yeah. So worried about it, because I'm a Division 1 team and Derry a Division 3 team, and there's nowhere near that gulf between the two teams. And the strange thing is that if you had to give me this game when it was initially due to be played, I would have been more confident with Armagh winning. I think that Rory Gallagher has got a little bit more out of this team. I think they're very unlucky that they weren't promoted, because the night they played Down was a game that they should have won the league. They're a team going in the right direction with some great young lads, like McFall around the middle, Lachlan up front, and Shane McGuigan's one of the best forwards in Ireland, lads.
Shane McGuigan was brilliant against Offaly last Sunday. Absolutely very good. Brilliant.
Yeah. And you know what I'll tell you, Paul? He played 2 years ago against Tyrone in the championship in Oma, and they played with one forward, and he was still brilliant. And if you can operate in those conditions against Ronan McNamee and a lot of players around you, and they will get no support out from he's a player. And I've seen him at club level. I've seen him excel at club level under the tightest. Like, whenever Derry are playing, you know, you're putting your best defender on him, you're putting your best, and he has managed to weather that. And he's just got more physical, he's got stronger, he's got more accurate. The thing I would say to him, I don't know if any is there United fans, but I'm a United fan, and Mason Greenwood plays with United.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going off on a slight tangent. Yeah. But he scores, I don't know what his chances to score ratio is, but I know it's very, very, very low. And when Solskjaer was asked after the game last night, he said about how efficient he was. And that's the way I would describe Shane McGuigan. He doesn't need a lot of chances to get, you know, if you're a Dublin forward, you might get 10 chances. You look brilliant if you score 5 of them. With Derry, if he gets 10 chances, he's definitely scoring 9 of them, and that's how good he is.
Last, so I think Derry couldn't be promoted last Sunday, the way it worked out, because of the head to head against Down, the way it had stood. And I think they used last Sunday as a complete dress rehearsal. They played awfully in O'Connor Park. They played really, really defensively. They tried to move it quick on the break. And when they were stopped on that, they just patiently recycled, and they were trying to get it to McGuigan, who just his point taken was superb. And it seems to me, did you play against him earlier in the league, Kieran?
I didn't play against him. I watched the game. I remember the game. And my abiding memory is that they did set up very defensively as well against us, and actually defended quite well for the best part of the game. And like that's what's intriguing for me is I was very impressed with Armagh against Roscommon in the way they, particularly the first half, and the way they went about attacking the game. It'll be an interesting battle, I think, between the two, because I know Armagh tried to penetrate and aim for that kind of D area, that scoring zone, but Derry seemed to cover that off pretty well. So again, it might come back to Armagh point scoring from distance, like they did in that first half against Roscommon, but equally tightening up in defence to give them the best chance there, I think.
And last Sunday, or last weekend, Armagh went to Clare. 10 minutes left is level, and you had been fairly bullish, Oisin, before the game that this would be fine, but were you a little bit nervous in the last 10 minutes? And how far can Armagh go in this championship?
Well, they're in the tough side of the draw. Yeah. Whoever wins on Sunday with Armagh and Derry play at Tyrone or Donegal, and that makes it very, very tough for either of those teams. But I don't think either team will be looking any further than what's in front of them. Armagh got their first win in Ulster in 5 or 6 years last year, and that I thought that would have kicked them all maybe to the next level. But the thing about Clare last week was that when the game was level, that's a game that notoriously over the last 4 odd years we've lost, and that has stopped us making that jump into Division One. But when it went level, Armagh controlled the game for the last 10 minutes, I thought they took a lot of the right options. And I thought, as poor as we have been at the back, I thought we looked a little bit better at the back than we have done. We're still susceptible to the high ball. We give away another bad goal from that. And that has been a recurring theme. But I would say that the thing I took out of last weekend, the biggest thing I took out of last weekend was when the game was there to be won, Armagh stood up and won the game. And that was, I think, as much as these lads maybe could have taken out of the game. Plus the fact...
Can they win the Ulster Championship?
At a push, they can win the Ulster Championship. At a push. I think it's important that they just get through next weekend and then one massive performance. And there's nothing in the other side of the draw that would scare me that much. We beat Monaghan last year in the back door. So there's nothing would scare me on the other side of the draw. It takes dogging it out this weekend and one massive big performance against Donegal or Tyrone if we win this weekend.
The other match that's on in the Ulster Championship next weekend is actually on Saturday at 1:15. It's the first round in the Championship, Monaghan against Cavan. Cavan against Meath looked okay, but only okay. And what is happening with Cavan, relegated to Division 3? What has happened to these young players who were coming through those successful underage teams? How are Cavan in Division 3?
I think they were unlucky enough to end up where they ended up. But having said that, I seen Armagh play Cavan in the first round of the league, and Armagh absolutely blew them away. I don't know if it was, I think it might have been 17 or 18 points. And I would have said at that stage, Cavan will be relegated out of sight. And the next day they go out and they pick up the next three games to pick up three wins. And that gives you a bit of an idea of how Jekyll and Hyde Cavan have been. And, when they went to Division 1, they looked competitive on certain weekends and looked way off the pace on other weekends. And I think that's the way it's been this year. But I think they were slightly unlucky to go down on this occasion. I think they are a reasonably decent Division 2 team. I think they're a team that are, again, in transition. Even though we said this about them about 3 years ago, that they were in transition, I still think they're in that transition. Yes, they turned around last year and absolutely blew Monaghan away in the championship. Blew them away. Completely controlled the game. And this will be a game that they will be... I think this is a game, realistically, that Mickey Graham will have earmarked and would not surprise me in the least if they will beat Monaghan at the weekend. Monaghan are obviously favourites, but it wouldn't surprise me if they will beat Monaghan. I'm not saying they will. So don't be coming back to me next week and saying you said Cavan would beat Monaghan. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that none of it matters. People have no idea about the, I was going to say a rivalry, but I will. I'll push it to hatred between Cavan and Monaghan when it comes to that derby.
Why? Why is it?
I don't know. It's just, it's ferocious. It's absolutely ferocious. I mean, like, there are some parts, like, obviously certain parts, they're so intertwining. And, you know, the Monaghan Cavan thing, you know, there's a lot of businesses around Monaghan, a lot of Cavan people, and vice versa. And I don't know what it is. It's just, they're just notoriously have hated each other for years. And and even though there's a new breed of footballers who come along, that is the one thing that's been constant. It hasn't changed. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it until, like, I was at that game last year, and you know, the intensity of it, and how Cavan enjoyed beating Mullen last year. So.
In the crowd as well? Was it in the crowd as
oh,
well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. More so in the crowd than anywhere else. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's hatred, but it's exactly what you want from a local derby.
A real championship match. Ciarán, the Munster Football Championship also starts on next weekend. Saturday evening, Waterford play Limerick, and on Sunday, Tipperary play Clare. If you're, as a Cork footballer, when you go out to play against any of those four counties, what are you thinking?
I think that's changed an awful lot. I'd imagine the thinking previously and the perception around was that, you know, it's Cork, Kerry, Munster football, that's it. But I feel like it's certainly changed, particularly over the last 5-6 years. I think Clare in particular have really got things together. Colm Collins, I think, has really kind of gave him a direction and gave him a strategy and a focus around how they want to play their football. I think even just watching, I only got the highlights of Clare and Armagh last week, but some of the players, you know, the likes of Cleary, you've Gary Brennan and Podge Collins, who are after coming back into the squad as well, who are, you know, really giving a bit more strength and depth there as well. And I certainly think it's going to be a great game of football. I think Tip as well, extremely strong. We played them in the league this year and just about by the skin of our teeth got over them by a point. And that's without Quinlivan in the side as well. So I think it's going to be a great game of football. And it's certainly changed. I think Tipperary might edge it. But I think it's going to be very, very close. But it's certainly changed things in relation to how you see Munster football. I think it's not just Cork and Kerry now. I think there's very strong teams. And even when you look at Limerick beat us in the McGrath Cup this year, in the McGrath Cup final, very well organised, very strong side, led by Ian Corbett at centre-back, who was just up and down the field all day. Big, strong presence and some really kind of speeding forward as well. So I expect Limerick to get over Waterford, but I do expect Tip to slightly edge out Clare as well.
Waterford's interesting for, like, it's obviously hurling is exceptionally strong there, and a lot of the footballers people at Brick Walsh end up playing hurling, but they're really good footballers. There's a really strong football area in Waterford too, which is given to the game, and it is interesting in these hurling counties, so-called, where there are pockets of football and strong pockets of football trying to burst out. And Tipperary, I think Tipperary are gone back a bit from where they were 3 or 4 years ago, but they have a lot of good players. Limerick, with the size and scope of Limerick, it's surprising that Limerick don't produce more competitive football teams over the years.
Yeah, like when I look back at our toughest game, one of our toughest games that we got over back in 2010 was a qualifier against Limerick up in the Gaelic grounds, went to extra time. We won by a point in the end. And they just had so much talent within that team in particular. I had the likes of John Galvin and these fellas were around that time, and they were kind of really driving Limerick football. But I certainly think that, just noticeably, you know, I was away for 6 years, albeit, but noticeably this year when we played them in the McGrath Cup, I thought they were very well organised, very well drilled than what I saw from previous years. But absolutely, and even when you look at the likes of Waterford, like, they certainly have a strong footballing areas. I think it's a cultural thing, Paul, to be honest with you, and it's just trying to really start to get things going there. How you go about that's another day today's conversation, but I certainly think the talent is there throughout Limerick and Waterford.
If we take it though, Cork and Kerry, and we're going to have a big show on the Cork and Kerry Munster semi-final next weekend, where we'll be getting a few lads in to get stuck into you, Kieran. But the other side of the draw, there's a massive opportunity to get to a Munster final here for Tip, Clare, Waterford and Limerick. In a word, which of the four counties is going to make it there, lads?
Clare for me.
I think Tip.
Yeah, I think it'll be Clare as well. Now, the Leinster Football Championship, the one you've been dying to talk about, three matches Sunday afternoon, all on at 1:30, all on GAA Go for streaming. Loud v Longford in Mullingar, Offaly v Carlo in the Maracanã in Tullamore, Wexford v Wicklow in Wexford. So, if we start with Loud and Longford, Loud are amazing. So Loud go, don't win a match in Division 4, go down to Cork and get basically completely rumbled, and then beat down last Sunday. How is that explained?
I would say that they are the Mayo of the lower tiers. You just know what's coming from one week to the next. But like, I'm right on the border. The in-laws are from Louth, and I've been managing DKIT for the last 10 years. We've had as much success as we've ever had there, as far as like the likes of Trench Cup and Division 2 colleges football. But the thing I would notice is that when those guys play with DKIT, that I think they're as good as any of the other top players that I have. All-star now, like Rian O'Neill's, the Niall Cairns's, the like you look at Sam O'Roy, you know, over the last couple of weeks, he's a guy who has just kicked things on to the next level. And from a personal point of view, I think that there are a lot of good players in Louth, and I think that they're not getting enough out of those players. This is in case people think I'm having a go at management. That's not a management issue. First of all, it's players putting themselves out there and putting themselves forward. That's the first thing. But also the structure with which Louth have had over the last number of years. There's a plan being put together in Louth at the moment. I know some of the guys were involved in it, and it will be a proper plan. And expect Louth in the next seven, eight years to kick on big time. There's a stadium which has already been started. That's going to be a massive part of it.
Brilliant training facilities.
Yeah, brilliant training facilities. But also hugely talented players.
Yes.
Hugely talented players. GAA is now, I think, more to the forefront than it ever was. Drogheda, Dundalk, they were always known as soccer towns. They're not soccer towns anymore. There's huge success going on, you know, at club level and all those sort of things. They can hold their own when it comes to Leinster Club Championship at senior level. And, you know, you look at junior level and intermediate, they've done well over the last couple of years as well. So the players are there. It's just a matter of harnessing the talent that's there and bringing them on. And there's the work that's being done coaching-wise. They have as good a coaching structure as anybody. It's just... the retention of those players when they get to a certain age is key for them. But this is a game that at the weekend, again, you wouldn't say it with any confidence, but I would expect Loud to win this game.
Would you really, Kieran?
Yeah.
I'm a bit up in the air on this one. I've obviously seen Loud, I watched Loud quite closely 2 weeks ago against Cork, and was disappointing, but I was flabbergasted by the result against Down, to be honest, which is a credit to that team. I would see Longford as more of a threat, I would slightly tip Longford here, but that again very narrowly. I think to echo what Oisín's saying, I think there is a conveyor belt of talent in Loud, and backed up by, you know, going to the likes of the DCUs and DITs and that as well, a lot of those guys would be going through those football academies as such, if you'd like to call them, playing at a really high level, and in Drogheda as well, like, you know. So I just think that Loud, albeit have plenty of talent on the way through, I still think that Longford at the moment currently might just edge this one.
Kieran will know Casey Byrne, and Casey Byrne should be having a similar effect on Loud that McKenna is having on Tyrone. Obviously, he's picked up a couple of injuries, and that's meant that his involvement has been curtailed. But even next year or the year after, I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't have a similar effect, as I say, to what Conor McKenna has had on his return to Tyrone.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll just make one point on that in relation to, I suppose, the transition back. There was a few questions, like I just noticed kind of in the last week off the back of Conor about, you know, the transition back and being able to play. But having an impacted career based on injury, you look at the likes of Tommy Walsh at Kerry, his time in Sydney and St Kilda, you look at Kieran's time in Carlton, Kieran Byrne's time in Carlton, you look at, but then on the flip side of that, you look at Ty Kennelly, who came back in 2009, won All-Ireland. But the overriding theme of people that come back and are successful, for example, Conor McKenna, Ty Kennelly, Zach Toohey, when he came home, seemed to be right up at the pace. They were playing consistently over in the AFL, consistently playing games, not getting injured, no interruptions, and their transition back seemed a lot more seamless than, you know, the likes of Kieran Byrne or Tommy Walsh, you know, who might have ran into a few injuries throughout their career, and that transition just seemed a little bit more difficult. Whether it's a mindset thing as well on top of it, that's something that you'd have to ask the individual. But I do think for the likes of McKenna, Kennelly, who were playing consistently, that transition back made it easier.
Good point.
I think Longford might shade it. I think they're a really solid, well-organised team with some very, very good footballers. They're really united and the weather's not going to be great. I think that Mullingar is a really interesting place to play football. It's tight and I think Longford might squeeze it. Wexford v Wicklow. Wicklow promoted from Division 4, went to Wexford last weekend, won a crucial match. Will they do it again?
I would be surprised if they can back it up, to be honest with you. I think Wicklow did look very impressive, but I just think it's a very hard thing to do to go back and play and you know, in Wexford and beat them again. I just think it's a huge challenge for them. I think the likes of Ben Brosman and Dahi Waters, for example, at midfield, they haven't really got going yet. I think they're building, and I think Wexford might get over Wicklow on this one.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a lot to separate these two teams. Conditions were absolutely horrendous last week. So, yeah, so they could be very, very similar this weekend, but there's not a lot between them. And this could be our first penalty shootout of the championship, something like that. It just has all the hallmarks of something like that to separate these teams, because, as I say, there's not a big pie between them. But Wicklow, to do what they did since they come back over the last couple of weekends, shows they have something about them. So, but again, it's toss of a coin job, maybe penalties.
These penalties, Tyrone v Armagh, you're playing, are you fancying a penalty?
Well, I'd definitely take a penalty. Whether it's scored or not, it's another thing completely, but I'd definitely put my hand up to take one.
No questions. Would lads let you take one?
Well, I was the penalty taker anyway. So probably.
Kieran, what are you thinking?
I'd need Conor McKenna's attitude. I think I'd be taking an oval ball for the last 6 years. So, I don't know. I wouldn't really back myself in. I'd leave it to the lads who've been kicking a round ball for the last number of years.
Yeah. Tullamore so on Sunday at 1:30, Offaly v Carlow. Entirely.
you can start, Paul.
Yeah, I'll start this one. So, I saw Carlow in 2018 play Kildare in O'Connor Park on a Saturday afternoon, and they gave a tactical masterclass. They sucked Kildare in. They got pressure on all of Kildare's famous weak points, and they hit them on break, and they scored. They won comfortably, and they looked like a real team, really well organized, pretty defensive, but getting the most of runners up the field. They've obviously gone back since then. Turlough O'Brien is now gone. I think Carlow are not what they were, and they're back down. Really unlucky to have been back down in Division 4 after the 2019 campaign, but are stuck in the middle of Division 4. I think Offaly are a little bit better than Carlow. I think Offaly should have too much for Carlow. But again, that's an entirely parochial view on it.
We played Offaly in our first game of the league this year. And I played in that game myself, and we certainly found that they were hard to break down. And we didn't really get away from Offaly until probably 5 or 10 minutes into the second half. And I think Offaly are very organised, to be honest with you. I think their fitness maybe let them down towards the end of that game. And I think we kind of made a couple of substitutions. We had probably a bit more depth, brought guys on and fresh legs. But I certainly was impressed with Offaly in that game. I thought even last week they had a man sent off with 10 minutes to go, and they were still kind of hanging in there. You know, I think there's a bit of grit about the team as well. So I don't know a whole pile about Carlow, but I do think just from what I've seen in Offaly and a small bit of what I've seen in Carlow, I think Offaly might take it all right.
Well, before I ask you about that, Oisin, the what I will say about Offaly is that I think Offaly's fitness is actually quite good. I think it's very good, actually. I think where Offaly have lacked, certainly in the early stages of the league, they really lack depth in the panel. And when other teams are Cork and bring on a whole fleet of players, Offaly did not have that in the league. And they went down. They had a couple of black cards, I think, that day, which really hurt them. But I agree that they're very well organised. I think John Mon has done an excellent job with Offaly. And I think they'll go ahead and play Kildare. Oisin?
Yeah, no, something similar, lads. I think I watched Armagh play Offaly last year, and I was impressed with Offaly for 45 minutes of the game. I think that they definitely look as if they have opted a little bit this year. They look pretty well organised to me. And you talk about what they have to bring off the bench. Emile Golfin, buddy, McNamee, is coming off the bench and producing the goods. And it's amazing what that can do for a team, you know, with 15, 20 minutes to go. Somebody who has the ability to come on and kick 4 or 5 points for you and get you over the line. Carlow is still very heavily reliant on Broderick's, not just from play, but especially from free kicks as well. And I think if Offaly were to clamp him down, that I don't know where the scores are going to come from for Carlow.
The last match of the weekend, then, the last of 9 matches. So 9 counties leave the championship this weekend. Unlike the hurling championship, where, you know, there's a team lost last weekend, a couple of teams, 4 teams will lose this weekend. They stay in the championship, the football championship.
I don't know how many chances the hurlers want, like, but it just shows you, like, football has taken over from hurling big time in all of the stakes, entertainment stakes, etc.
Well, it's this shooting. Kieran, what do you think of this hurling? These lads shooting from everywhere and no one going for goals.
I've grown up watching the hurling Munster championship as well. I always loved, from a personal point of view, loved the high scoring games. But I don't know. It's an interesting one. The football, as I said, is definitely taking over. I think it's edging the hurling out at the moment slightly.
Somebody wrote an article during the week about Bryson, comparing the hurling to Bryson DeChambeau, and how he has overpowered the golf game. And it's a little bit like that. It's got very boring hurling, hasn't it?
Well, I think we have to see what Anthony has to say. Larry's very upset here on the sideline. Larry, of course, is you asked about the Man United fans, Oisin, earlier on. I'm also a Man United fan, and it appears that Larry is one as well, if I read correctly what he said earlier. At the last match of the weekend, Leitrim and Mayo. Leitrim put it up to Tipperary for a long time last weekend in a crucial Division 3 relegation match, but they fell away at the end. They have also improved. They're back down to Division 4, but they are a better team than they were for several years. Nonetheless, you'd expect Mayo to come through. And can Mayo, on the strength of what you've seen, can Mayo win the All-Ireland? The eternal question that must be asked.
I definitely think Mayo can win the All-Ireland, yeah.
This year?
This year. I think obviously that they have to get their ducks in order in relation to the consistency, the age old kind of thing you talk about Mayo and being consistent, but the players they have, the depth they have in their squad, you can see the game style they're trying to get right, to compete with the likes of Dublin, and you can see that they're playing that game style with one eye on All-Ireland semi-final, All-Ireland final stage. I just think they need to bring it together. I think the knockout will suit them. I think the knockout championship will suit them. I think if they get a slight bit of a run, I think they'll carry serious momentum into the championship.
I think they've improved so much up front. I think young Conroy gives them an extra little bit. Darren Cohen off the bench. So they have plenty of options up front. I just think on the Aidan O'Shea thing, you know, we talked about it last week. I think when somebody looks them in the eye and says stick or twist, they need to stick, because it only takes one or two balls for Aidan O'Shea, you know, to get a bit of success in there. Last week was, to me, pretty simple in that Ronan McNamee just had his number. You know what I mean? He was just quicker to the ball, all those sort of things. But the great thing as a forward is, like, if you get one ball and stick it in the net, nobody remembers how good McNamee was. You know what I mean? And that's why bringing him out into the middle of the field, just for me, just shows a slight bit of weakness again. And I can understand why they've done it, because you're not going to watch somebody in there for 50 minutes and not get his hands in any ball. But I just think that they need, you know, that's something, if they're going to win All Ireland, they need to persist. But I don't think Aidan O'Shea, I think there's two things with Aidan O'Shea. I don't think he would have the wherewithal in Croke Park to get up and down the pitch anymore. And I think the other thing about it was that he is such a danger. But if you look at the difference between the ball they played when they played against Galway, last weekend they were just putting it in. It was like old school, yes. Just let's hoof it in and let's see what comes of it. When he did come out, you know, the quicker boys in, say, got a little bit more success as well. So, but I just think that if Mayo are going to win in All-Ireland, then defensively, you know, they need to have a bit more of a plan than they had at the start of the game last week. You could see from very early on it was going to be very open, and Trone were getting on top of them, and they didn't react quick enough. You know, and all they needed to do was clamp it down to half time, and they couldn't even see it out to half time. And you know, by the time half time came, even though they made a brilliant comeback, you know, the game was realistically over. They were missing Killian O'Connor as well, so they have the wherewithal to definitely hit the latter stages. Can they win the All Ireland? Well, it would be just so Mayo to win the All Ireland with no fans and Christmas time. I mean, can you think of anything? You know, I know people have said that before, but can you think of anything more Mayo for them to do? But they have the wherewithal if they, as Kieran says, just get them ducks in a row.
Can we just talk about that? The Aidan O'Shea, the full forward position in relation to, and O'Shea knew more, no more than anyone else, but in relation to that mixing that high ball with that low ball, like Aidan O'Shea is a versatile player and he's dangerous close to goal. Like, if that little pop ball is given to him, he'll do damage. If that high ball is given to him, he'll do damage. But as you said there, consistently giving high ball isn't going to work. The importance of kind of mixing that low ball into high ball, it puts doubts in a full back, whether he, you know, plays him from the front, plays him from behind, you know, what's the next ball going to look like? I think that's crucial in Mayo's game plan and how they approach the championship, how they approach Leitrim, and, you know, if they get over Leitrim, the rest of the Connacht championship and moving forward. But I think that's crucial to it. You can't underestimate the impact of mixing that up. And I think it'll actually, I don't know, I think they just need to utilise that Aidan O'Shea role to the best of their ability. I think people are starting to notice it, but consistently hammering the ball in high, it just isn't going to work.
I think a week with Andy Moran would do him absolutely no harm, because when Aidan O'Shea makes the runs, he wants the ball all the time. If you're a full forward, yes, we are selfish individuals by nature, but sometimes you just get out of the way to give somebody else that little bit of space. And if he can add that to his game, and look, it seems to be early in the process, so he has the opportunity. He seems like an intelligent footballer. Like, he played most of his underage game at 11 and 4, all underage football at 11 and 14. So he should know enough about it. But I suppose just, you know, exactly what Kieran says, you know, if you're a full forward, just because you're big, doesn't mean you want the ball in the top of your head all the time. You know what I mean? You got to mix it up. And if you mix it up, then it keeps the... It keeps the defenders guessing. But just the sort of stuff that Andy, if you could add the sort of stuff that Andy Moore did later in his career, like Andy Moore will tell you, he wasn't getting any quicker as he went on, but his runs were very intelligent. He was getting on the ball all the time. So, I mean, that's the key for Aidan O'Shea and for Mayo from here.
There are two other observations about Mayo from the weekend. The first is that they didn't seem to be ready for Tyrone playing as far up the field as Tyrone played in the first half. They seem to be surprised about this, and Kevin McLaughlin was centre-back. You wonder whether they expected Tyrone to be much more defensive, number one. Number two, the kickouts cost them again with a goal and a turnover and other things going wrong. And I felt sorry for David Clark, actually. It seemed to me, if you the comparison between the Galway match the previous weekend, where every Mayo player wanted the ball all the time, and in the first half against Tyrone, the runs did not seem to be being made, and David Clark then got hesitant on the kick out, and he did what so many goalies do when a kick out goes wrong. He didn't fully commit to the kick and hit it hard. He soft pedaled it and he got picked off. And so I the point I make is that Mayo seemed to go back into their shell a little bit in terms of the exuberance that they played with the previous weekend, and that's not a good sign.
That's mental for me. It's been mental with Mayo for a while, but that's mental. Like people say, winning makes you soft, but it also maybe you think going into the next game that maybe you don't have to make the same runs as the last time. Maybe you think you're better than you are. And I think, you know, that for me last weekend, you're right. When he looked up, the options were very, very poor. You look at the wide camera angle from behind the goals, yeah, and you look at, I know we only get seen very few of them, but you look at any of them and you look at the movement, you look at the comparison with the movement in the Galway game, it just wasn't there. I mean, he had so many options in the Galway game and very few at the weekend, and that's why he became hesitant, and that's why his teammates did him no favours whatsoever last weekend. And just even that awareness of, you know, front foot, especially for those kickouts, you know, not rocking back in your heels. And a simple little thing that got cost them for McKenna's goal. That's why they were turned over, and that's why McKenna stuck the ball in the net. And at the end of the day, that cost them their Division 1 status. Just that one incident.
And that's it. So, Championship, we should mention, by the way, Kerry win the National League. Does that matter beyond the actual winning of the league itself? Is it a key milestone for Kerry in reclaiming Sam?
I don't think it would be from their perspective. I don't think that's the aim for them. I think they're eye clearly on Sam. I do think in relation to what they've been able to get from the league and playing the quality of teams they've played and the way they have played, I think they've found out an awful lot about, again, we talked about depth of a squad, but they've found a couple of really new I suppose really good new players, like the likes of Brosnan and these lads that have kind of just almost just popped up out of nowhere, probably off the back of James O'Donoghue and Paul Gainey and these lads, you know, having a few injury concerns. But I think in relation to the league itself, I think you could even see, by the way, Clifford lifted the trophy. I think that might have been the fact that there was no fans surrounding as well, but like gave it kind of a bit of a cheeky smile. But I think it's just another game in order to prepare for I suppose Cork firstly, but then obviously they'll certainly have, because of the back of previous years, have their eye on Sam.
Can I go back to Man United for one moment? I don't know if you remember.
So you're willing to talk about Man United the day after a 5-0 victory? It's fair going, Oisín.
I might never be able to mention him the rest of the year, but Louis van Gaal took over United and he was given a load of money to spend. He had loads of good forward players, and what he did was he just bunged them all into the team and expected there to be chemistry between them. And I think that's what Peter Keane has changed, and that's what he's found out through the league, is that especially the last two games, is that I'm going to have to sacrifice, you know, a Gainey or an O'Donoghue or whoever, in order to make Spillane, in order to make room for
Darragh Moynihan and
Ronan Buckley.
Ronan Buckley,
boys who are gonna buy into exactly what I want them to do, because they have those attributes that are different to X, Y, and Z. And for me, that's the biggest change I've seen in Kerry the last couple of weeks, is that just because you've got all these brilliant forwards, you just don't bung them in and expect, you know, that to work for you. They're playing a different style and they've got to adapt to that style. And Peter Keane has a lot of tough calls to make over the next couple of weeks with certain individuals, because if that's the way he wants to play, then there's only certain players can play the roles that he wants them to play.
We'll be talking more about Kerry next week and about Cork and about Dublin West Meath out the following weekend as well, and all the rest of the championship matches. Thanks a million, lads, and thanks also to Renault for sponsoring the show. See you next week.
Thanks, Paul.
Peace, Paul.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.